We're discussing the successful transition from prison, creating a reentry system that values human dignity and humanity. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. People who have been incarcerated face major challenges finding work after release. According to a multi-year study by Brookings published in 2018, about 55% of formerly incarcerated Americans reported income a year after release. What employment barriers did your loved one face in reentry? How did they get their life on track? What programs made all the difference, and who runs them? Join in at 800-642-1234. Shannon Ross is Executive Director of The Community, advocating for systemic change and rooting out stigma with us for the hour. Shannon, we heard from Kenneth in Janesville, called in, couldn't stay with us. And Kenneth read about a company in California that only hires formerly incarcerated people and wants to know how prevalent are programs like this in Wisconsin. Is it difficult for people with criminal records to get a job after being released?
So I can't think of any that hire exclusively people with criminal records. I know our trucking company, we definitely try to hire system-impacted individuals first and foremost, but it's not like a requirement. There are, I would say, a number of companies like that, though, across the country. There's a good book by Jeffrey Korzenick called Untapped Talent, I believe the name of it is. And it's been out for maybe several months, and he just makes the business case for hiring people that have criminal records and the importance of it on the economy and for companies in hiring from that demographic, because he's laying out how there are very, very effective programs that have hired from that demographic and have, you know, achieved great success with that. Just having to understand what that means and doing certain things differently. I think maybe Dave's Killer Bread might be one of the ones that he was mentioning in California. I think it's the gentleman in Janesville. So there, the issues are real when people come out of getting a job. There are a lot more people willing to hire you right now than there have been for a long time. Again, it's a popular issue. And so a lot of companies are signing on. There's a second chance hiring coalition of Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 companies. There's a lot of interest even in Milwaukee hiring from that group. Just knowing how to do it, I think, is very important. Don't just jump in and say, hey, we're going to hire people that are formerly incarcerated. And then when it doesn't work out, think it's the people that are formerly incarcerated. It's a specific way you have to do it. You have to be sensitive to certain things. And be aware of what that means to take it, you know, get the best from these individuals. And so they get the best out of the experience as well. But yeah, I mean, absolutely. When you come from a place, you're not getting great training. You're not getting the belief that you can actually move forward or you can do certain things, or you've been sitting there stagnant in prison for years. You know, you're going to come out and struggle to get a job, and people are going to not see you as somebody they want to hire because you have a certain attitude or lack of, you know, etiquette in dealing with problems very well with people. And so that all is a testament to the way we deal with individuals when they're in prison and how they come out oftentimes worse off, but they could come out again better than people coming out of university settings if we do it correctly.
Let's bring in Jim now in Juneau. Jim, hi, what is your story?
Thanks for this topic. So I served 14 years in the Virginia penitentiary system. It is very hard on a person mentally coming out of a warehouse, because that's what it is. This way our system is set up, it is not set up for you to have the ability to get your life in order upon release. You absolutely need some kind of family support for your mental side of it, but for being able to actually get out and be a, you know, functioning member in society, they need to start making a system where before you get released, you have the ability to have a job so that you are able to get that 9-to-5 mentality and practice, you know, what it takes to do the things you're going to need to do when you get out. I personally feel that if you're going to do a system where your time is, you know, given to you, you know, 85%, let's put it that way, no good time to speak of, I think that they should make a good time allowance based upon the time you give in a work setting in the penitentiary system.
Hmm.
And so that a person earns their good time and also learns how to function,
build
in
skills
society as they get out.
Let's allow Shannon to build on your experience, Jim. Shannon, your insights.
Yeah, no, he's 100% right. The situation as it is right now inside is massively warehousing. And the DOC will even say that at times. They will say when it comes to things that are in the area of rehabilitation, that some things are not their job because their job is security. Their job is to keep you there, make sure that, you know, you're safe while you're there and that society's safe. And then you just come out. You know, the system is we separate people. We take a crime. We say you were the perpetrator, you were the crime survivor. And I'll go to your corners, and then in 10 years, maybe meet again on a street, you know, accidentally, you know, when the one person gets out. So that doesn't get us anywhere because that's not accountability. I was having a conversation with somebody recently about, he was asking, people would think when you go to prison, you know, you should be punished. And like, yeah, well, punishment doesn't get you anywhere. What we really want is we want accountability. We don't want punishment. Accountability gets both that sense of the depth and the, you know, the gravity of the situation into a person's understanding. It also makes person on the side that was victimized feel that you understand what happened and that you have, you know, suffered the heaviness of that in some way, but it moves both parties forward. And so having a situation where individuals are getting an understanding of what they can do when they get out, opportunities to do things before they get out to prepare, that is key. Because when you just are dropped off in the middle of a jungle, which happens a lot of times for people coming out of prison for years where they were just warehoused, then it doesn't get society anywhere. It doesn't help us go anywhere. It's penny wise and pound foolish. Sounds good. Feels good to say we punished people, got what you deserved. But now when that problem comes to your doorstep in some fashion because your daughter encountered this individual who did not get what they could have gotten while they were incarcerated, and now this person is again victimizing people because they didn't get what they could have gotten to become whole in some sense and have an understanding of what it means to have victimized somebody and done wrong and why you need to atone for that or even be held accountable, then it just continues this cycle. So again, this is not about, and I always like to bring this back, it's not about coddling people. It's not about making excuses for people or giving individuals that have done society wrong things that those in society don't even have, like an opportunity at getting a college degree or a vocational skill. It's about focusing on outcomes. What are the outcomes of the current process we have? Are they getting us closer to what we want as a society, healthy communities, less crime, or do they just sound good? They just feel good to say, and it doesn't. Like, you know, as he said, it's just warehousing. We can do a lot better job than warehousing.
We're talking with Shannon Ross, who's executive director of the community in Milwaukee, and your insights on reentry at 800-642-1234. Shannon, a number of criminal justice reforms were removed from the state budget by Republican lawmakers who said the reforms should be done through legislation. What changes legislatively should be made into law? What should the governor sign into law that would make sustainable reforms to help stop mass incarceration in Wisconsin?
Yeah, this is a tricky one. Some of this I have to kind of bite my tongue on because I have some strong opinions about the way things have been handled. I think there are some very clear-cut things that can be done that don't even require legislation. You know, I feel that there are areas where Evers especially could, you know, take advantage of powers he has to make certain things occur. He, you know, he's really bent on having bipartisan support for things, which is laudable. I understand that. But there are areas where it's very clear something needs to be done and it should just, you know, be a, let's just get it in place because the other side is going to play politics situation. And so there are complexities to this that I don't fully understand. I'm trying to learn more about and be patient about understanding, accepting my naivety in certain areas. But what, you know, can be done at the base level is addressing, the amount of people that go back to prison for crimeless revocations. It's not that simple. I will state very clearly that. Just to say that soundbite, it's definitely more to it than that soundbite, but there's a lot of improvement we can make on having people go back to prison for what are just rule violations. They're not actual crimes. People being sent back because, for example, they did not show up late to a variety of appointments with their agent, or they didn't get a job in time, or they didn't tell their agent they had a change of address. Things like that are rule violations, and there's different varieties, and you can be sent back to prison in Wisconsin just on an allegation, just simply somebody says you did something, you're never found guilty of it, but There's a lower bar to being incarcerated when you are on paper than there is if you are a regular citizen who has the due process and beyond a reasonable doubt status, which has to be achieved. So that's one clear one I think that can happen. Another one that I'm very big on with our work is pre-entry, which is really changing the environment inside the prison system. This takes no legislative action. It takes little to no increase in funding. We can just restructure the way that we are incentivizing people inside to spend their time, encouraging them to, and rewarding them in various ways through lower, you know, little things like you get more phone calls, you get maybe cable TV in one area, you get less rules that you have to follow, like wearing your lanyard or having to sign out. You have more freedoms all inside. So little things like that can be a huge motivation for those inside to pursue things that are along with their personal development, their educational attainment, in various ways, and, you know, allowing them to have agency in the way that they develop, but having that space and that time instead of the chaos of a dorm setting or having a celly that they have to live with and dealing with that. I've personally had to quit a tutor job before because I was living with somebody they would not move me out of the room from because he was just, it was chaotic in there. So I had to take a job somewhere else just to get out of that setting. In food service, stop being a tutor. You know, like, that shouldn't have to happen. So we can do a lot better job while people are inside of incentivizing them to do things that are beneficial for their own personal development. And then again, better for the community in the end because of that. So those are the two that I think are really easy, is addressing crimeless replications, addressing the prison environment. And then we should also be able to vote. If you get out of prison, there's no reason why you can't vote. I'm back in society. I'm paying taxes. A number of other states allow you to vote when you get out. Some states allow you to vote while you're incarcerated still. We should in Wisconsin be able to vote once I get out. I am a returned citizen, so I should have the rights of a returned citizen in that fashion to vote for who is, you know, all around me making these legislative decisions.
We're talking with Shannon Ross, heads up the nonprofit The Community, spent 17 years in prison in Wisconsin. After being released last year, he's continuing his work of expanding resources for incarcerated Wisconsinites and pushing for anti-mass incarceration initiatives. Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Shannon Ross here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Shannon Ross. Started a nonprofit in 2014 while serving a sentence to advocate for better treatment and for reentry for incarcerated Wisconsinites. His newsletter, read by thousands of people, and his new podcast, it's called All in Wisconsin. Shannon with us for about eight more minutes. On the issues of pre-reentry, Gwen in Madison would like to explore that. Gwen, go ahead.
Hi. So I'm just curious why we can't figure out, like, how to, I guess, generate resources at the same time that we're getting people ready. So, for example, we know there's a lot of jobs needed in manufacturing. So if there's some way to have prisoners have a job, you know, while they're incarcerated, being manufacturers, and then give them a paycheck and have them pay for their care. And, you know, just programs like that where they're actually, you know, getting real pay, but also paying for actual expenses that they have. And that would give both work skills and life skills.
Shannon Ross, can you elaborate on that type of program?
Yeah, so that is the work release program. In Wisconsin, there are about 13 facilities. Two of them are women's facilities throughout the state where people can get jobs prior to release. You can go to a work release facility technically at any time in your incarceration, but generally it's about when you're under 3 years or so. It depends on your comportment record while you're incarcerated and a variety of other things if you've done your programs. But people go there and they're allowed to get a job where they pay up to $720 a month, maybe $740 a month, I'm sorry. And that's for room and board and transportation to and from the job. It's a very restrictive process. You can't even talk to your coworkers really about anything personal. You're supposed to just be basically a robot going to work. The work release process is good. It's very good. Some states don't even have it. But at the same time, they don't want you to really be a human being. They're just basically saying, go make money, but don't make, some development or a future for yourself, because when you're going to work, even at a factory, and you can't even talk to your coworkers in a way that is about your life and about their life and really get to know them. You can't eat shared food that people bring to work. You can't even look at a video on a cell phone somebody has because you can't have any of this. You can't touch money. Whereas on Huber, work release for jail, they can do all those things. They have a lot more autonomy. And I personally feel, without knowing the data, I feel like that's a very, very much more successful program because it has less people going back and getting in trouble at the job and losing their job just because they, for example, ate a chip out of somebody's bag that was at work. It's a coworker, which could be a reason to lose your job. So they do have that process. It just has, you know, not without flaws. I've personally been a part of it. I've had a job in Fort Atkinson at a cat food factory before I got out. And I was looking for a job in Milwaukee before I got out. Only two facilities allow you the flexibility to find your own job, which I think is an important part of this. If you're going to a place and they only have set contracts that you can go to this, or take it or leave it, that doesn't really help you because as was my case, I actually quit the job I had because I had it for 5 weeks and it was just not at all what I was trying to do. I felt I could invest more in my own time and myself in the room, in writing and in focusing on studying than spending 10 hours a day at a factory, which I was not going to do when I got out. So if I would have had the ability to find something in line with what I was going to be doing, when I was in Milwaukee, Keith Stanley, who runs Near West Side Partners, was trying to find an internship position for me. And they were going to let me do that in Milwaukee. So just the flexibility to have that, finding a job that aligns with what you're going to be doing and what your goals are, I think is an important part of what you were talking about, which is overall a very good program. Having work release and having people have the ability to have something before they get out, not right before, but for, you know, ideally a couple of years before, where you're in the workforce, making money.
Having that runway.
Yeah.
Yep. Gwen, thank you for the call. We heard from Jeff in Madison, who called in, couldn't stay, and knows volunteers from a program called Jail Guitar Doors. And it's a program that offers free musical instruments to people who are incarcerated. Jeff wants to know, does this program exist here in Wisconsin? And how can people volunteer in the state prison system? What roles do volunteers play?
I have never heard of that. And I would definitely like to learn more. I'd like to know about every resource for those inside so we can let them know. As far as volunteering right now in the prison system, you have to get approved by whatever facility you're going to be volunteering at. They just opened up volunteering again because everything was closed for COVID for a while. So you can reach out to us. We can connect you with, you know, people at probably any facility who are doing certain things. We don't know everything, but well, we can connect you to somebody that'll be able to find out what's going on, or the direct person at that facility who can tell you what groups are currently in there. But even if something's not at a facility, you can create a new group. You can create a new program that would go in and try and get permission to take that in and connect with the individuals at that facility. So there's a mix of finding what's going on now and connecting with that, or creating something new like that prison guitar program and bringing it to Wisconsin. So there's definitely a lot of opportunities. And then even without going in, there's a lot of stuff with correspondence, with pen pal, with finding resources, people inside and helping them. So there's no end of ways to connect with people inside and help out that align with your values, interests, and resources if you're looking for it.
In terms of communications, how have phone calls been in the prison system? We've been doing conversations about just the astronomical cost to make a call.
Yeah, it's gotten cheaper over time. There's been a lot of legislation federally and even within the state now, legislation, which has changed. It's about 6 cents a minute right now in Wisconsin, and we're one of the better in the country. Connecticut just went to entirely free phone calls, emails, and video visits. That's the model that I believe everybody should be striving for, since that precedent has been set. And various jails and jurisdictions around the country have gone to free as well. So we're actually right now trying to get Milwaukee County to do that with Bianca Tylik and Worth Rises. They're an organization behind a lot of that legislation, a lot of the change, the experts in that field. So it's overall, it's cheaper than it is in other states. It's not terrible here relatively, but definitely should be better than it is and can be better than it is with more access, because that's an important part of rehabilitation, is having that connection with your loved ones, your family, your children, your support network.
Shannon Ross, earlier this year, one of our listeners named Mitch requested more conversations with formerly incarcerated people. And Mitch asked to hear a different point of view than the State Department of Corrections. What is most needed to correct the narrative surrounding people with criminal records?
I would say one is the media. I know somebody asked one time, and there was a group of us, and somebody said, if you had all the money in the world, what would you do? And I was the only one that said I'd take over the media, because I think that is what is at the root of the issue. If you can get people to see those out of criminal records as human beings, you can change all this stuff that is currently finding immense restrictions and obstructions to getting approval in the legislature or in communities, because that's the base point of it, is that the reason that you don't hire somebody that's a criminal record is because you don't see them as human being, or you have a sense of fear or danger that's not really accurate with what that demographic presents. You're basing it off of the media, off of stories you've seen, off of, aggrandized stories of individuals inside and violence and coming out and just continuing to be worse criminals, learning to be better criminals, all these tropes that we hear. But if the media were to present people that have criminal records differently, they were to present that demographic in a way that is more aligned with the successes, humanity, and agency of that demographic, then you'd have people who start to give them more opportunities. You'd have people who start to vote differently. You'd have legislators who feel better about voting in favor of things because their constituents aren't going to get on them about having voted for some kind of reform that can be seen as coddling criminals or, pro or soft on crime. You know, these labels that get us nowhere that have no accuracy. They just sound bites. So
Shannon,
that is at the end of it, I think, what is behind it all, and that I would like to focus on if I could and I had all the power and money is the media.